don't help much.
When did you do it for another in January?
10th of January.
Marcia had one, I think it was last week. Had to hurt a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of the 10th of January, that's 1 month from today.
Yeah.
December the 10th, 2023, in the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. You turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. I'm in great pain this morning, so we'll be short and sweet today. Well, I say sweet. You know, I'm never sweet.
Amen.
And I've asked you people to before if you wanted to find you a better pastor and maybe build the church up again, and folks don't want to hear such preaching as comes from this pulpit, and they do not want to hear it anywhere I go, but sometimes they don't have any choice of hearing it. You do. I'm not going to change, I don't guess, unless the Lord does something mightily different within me, because when I read the book, it's very clear what the gospel is. When I read from those old timers, divines like John Calvin, John Bunyan, John Gill, Charles Spurgeon, and many other old divines, they preach the same gospel that I do today. I cannot succumb to these modern day things that I try to listen to them on my Sirius XM on family radio, and some of them I just cannot bear. I'll bear a minute or two of them, and I have to turn back to bluegrass. I'd rather listen to that than I had them ignorant preachers, but they're always asking for money. Always. All of them. I thought, really? People? Do all of you have to ask for money? I mean, even the ones that are pretty good preachers that I can bear to listen to, they still ask for money. Not R.C. Sproul. He's dead and gone, but on none of his sermons have I ever heard him or the people that was at his Ligonier, I believe it's called. Never heard them ask for a dime, ever. But all the rest of them always send us money. I don't quite get it. I don't read anywhere in the scriptures where the Apostle Paul was ever begging for money. He did thank the Philippians, though. He thanked them for helping him when he was in prison at Rome, when all the others forsook him, not the Philippians. And Epaphroditus, their pastor, was with him at Rome while he was in prison. I cannot forsake what the Scripture says. I cannot forsake what the Lord Jesus says. I just cannot do that. I never will. If I have to preach on the streets, which I do anyway, every time I go to that unspeakable store that I have to go to from time to time, and everywhere I go, I preach the gospel. They may not like it. Some of them do. Some of them don't. But I preach the gospel. Verse 9. Revelation chapter 1. This is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ given to John. And some Bibles have it different ways. You know, the revelation of St. John, the divine, in different ways. But this is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that are to come that he gave to John. And that's the very first verse of this revelation. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by an angel unto his servant John. And verse 9 it says, I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our God, we thank you for this reading of the Lord's word this day. And we pray your blessings upon your people and upon the reading of the word, that it might be helpful and useful to us in our journey while we sojourn through this earth till we draw to our last day. Have mercy upon us and help us, our God. Open our eyes that we may be able to see and understand and be enlightened and illuminated with the truth of thy word. Help us now, our God. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name, our Redeemer. Amen. John, the youngest apostle. Just a kid. Young man, when he walked with the Lord, 3.5 years. You know how old he was here when he said, I, John, in the Isle of Patmos? You know how old he was? 90 or more. An old man. John was an old man. And because of his faith, because he would not shut up, because he would not quit preaching the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as old as he was now, an old, old man, they cast him out to the isle, the island of Patmos, a pitiful place, a terrible place, where that old man, all the other apostles dead and gone, and John was left, they put him on the Isle of Patmos because he would not quit preaching the gospel. What a testimony. What a testimony for people like Pappy. Elderly people that cannot do anymore will not shut up preaching the gospel. And John would not. And they put him on this poor island, a pitiful, terrible place, and he suffered greatly. An old man, 90 years old. And he wouldn't quit. And he wasn't done yet. He wasn't done yet. You'd think, you know, an old man, John, the last apostle, the youngest of them all, now 90 years old or more, and God sends him to the Isle of Patmos. A terrible place. And he suffered greatly there. So take courage, folks. Take courage in your elderly years that God ain't through with you. God's not through with you in your elderly years. I wish Pappy was here today so he could hear such things, that God's not through with you, Pappy. You may be sick and afflicted and may be on the Isle of Patmos. God's not through with you. Still things God's got for you to do. And my, what God had for the Apostle John to do in his elderly years on the Isle of Patmos. And even after he left the Isle of Patmos, he went to Ephesus and spent out his last days at Ephesus. He loved those Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. I, John. Now look how he puts this. Look, this is a true believer. This is an apostle. Did he call himself an apostle? Did he say, I, John the apostle, the youngest of the Lord Jesus apostles? He didn't say that. Who also am your brother, a very humble man. Let us all be so amongst ourselves, humble people. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in suffering and sorrow. Is that what he's saying? No. That's not what he said, is it? And companion in tribulation. Now, my wife likes to listen after a fellow whose name I won't call because it's going out on sermon audio and I don't want them people out there listening to him. But she listens to him and likes him, and she's a believer in the rapture, that there's going to be a rapture before the last day, that the Lord's going to come and rapture the church out, and then he'll come back, and that'll be a second coming when he comes back. It won't be a second coming when he raptures the church. I thought, wait, I'm confused. I said, I'm confused. Wait, he's coming back to rapture his church, but that's not going to be a second coming. He's just going to rapture the church then, and then he's coming back again, and that'll be the second coming. I'm confused. I don't understand that. But she listens after a fellow that believes that. Because we're not appointed unto tribulation. And the wrath of God is the tribulation that's coming upon this earth. And we're not appointed unto wrath, the wrath of God. Therefore, the church will be raptured out. Well, you know I do not believe such garbage. I believe what the Scripture teaches, that when the Lord comes back, He'll come back in His glory. Every eye shall see Him. Whether it's round or flat, sister, every eye will see Him. And in that day, they will run and cry for the rocks and the hills to fall upon them. They will see the Lord Jesus in His glory. And they will know hell approaches them quickly. And he will judge the quick and the dead. The living and the dead he will judge on that day. So, but here John says, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. He was suffering on the Isle of Patmos. I guess we all have our Isle of Patmos, especially in our elderly years. I thank the Lord I still have my feet, Brother Gerald. I'm a diabetic like you. We still got our feet. Because we know when a man starts to lose his feet, that's a diabetic. The end is near. It's not far away. And the apostle here, John, the baby apostle, was on the Isle of Patmos. And he said, I am your brother. Didn't call himself an apostle, preacher of the gospel. He said, I am your brother and companion in tribulation. He was suffering in his old age on the Isle of Patmos. Now, we may not be on an island called Patmos where there's great tribulation, but we have our troubles and we have our hard times and we have our sufferings that we go through, our pains and aches and whatnot, but and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Do you know there's a lot of people these days that do not believe and do not have any faith? The Lord Jesus Himself said, Will I find faith on the earth when I come? Because he has not returned. They don't have faith because he has not returned. I thought, how dumb can you be? Because if he did return and you didn't have faith, you're going to hell. And I know people hate to hear me say that. I'm not saying anything that the Lord Jesus and the apostles didn't say. They made it very clear. John made it very clear. Go read 1 John. He made it very clear. They all made it very clear that people who do not follow Christ are going to hell. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I'm only telling you what the Scripture says. You're either following Christ or you're not. If you're not following Christ, you're going to hell. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. You know, God has no sense of time like we do. We get old and John's old. He's on the Isle of Patmos and he's suffering. He's in tribulation. But he mentions here, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. And they wonder, why is he waiting so long? Why? Well, Jesus himself said, no man knows the day nor the hour when the Lord's coming again will happen. No man knows. Even he himself, while he was a man on the earth, he said, I don't know. He could have known if he'd have wanted to. He's God. But while he was here on earth, he said, no man knows. Only God. They got a bluegrass song out that says, Gabriel is already standing. It'll be Gabriel that blows the trumpet when the Lord returns. Gabriel will be blowing the trumpet, and it says Gabriel's already standing. He's ready to blow the trumpet. He's just waiting for the Master's command to blow the trumpet when the Lord returns. But no man knows the day of the night. The patience of the Lord Jesus. The patience of God the Father. They steal some of His elect. Some of my own people that are yet lost in their sins. That I'm hoping will repent and believe the gospel. I'm hoping that many of my own sons will start to preach the gospel. My grandsons will grow up and preach the gospel. My granddaughters will marry preachers of the gospel. The patience of our God. And that's what John says. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. He said, I'm suffering like you are on the Isle of Patmos out here. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you don't have to preach that kind of stuff. All you got to do is read it. I tell people everywhere I go, just read the book. Just read it. Just read it and pray that the Lord would illuminate, open your eyes that you could see the things that He's saying. Little things like this, and this is not a little thing. This is a wonderful thing. I'm John, your brother, a great apostle of the Lord Jesus, the one that laid his head on Jesus' breast, the youngest one, the one that the Lord loved so much, and they all knew it. They all knew that the Lord Jesus loved young John and let him lay his head on his breast. Who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's an old man. He's 90 years old plus. This is 60 years after Jesus died that John wrote this. 60 years. So he was 30 years old. He's an old man now. And he said, I'm here for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So elderly people, take courage. Grab hold of something here. That here's old John, the baby of the apostles, now an old man on the Isle of Patmos, and he's there for the word of God and the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And he writes his book. And then he says, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Woo, that's just good stuff. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Meaning on our Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, on Sunday. It's what the heathens call it. We call it the Lord's Day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Can you imagine? Have you ever heard the voice of God? I have not. I have not. Not with my ears. My physical ears. I have in faith. I have in my communion with God in the early morning when I can't sleep. My back hurts and I have to get up at 2:30 or so in the morning and I go sit in the living room and in the recliner and try to get some more ease. And I've heard Him by faith. Have communion with Him by faith. My ears have never audibly heard Him. But John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. We don't hear many trumpets sounding anymore like they did back in the day, because if there were enemies coming, the trumpets would sound from the towers where they watched and looked out for enemy coming, and they would sound the trumpets so that people would know to get inside the walls, hide themselves. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. He was in the Spirit. He was not even in His body. He was really in the Spirit. He was truly in the Spirit when he heard God speak to him. When he heard the Lord Jesus speak to him, and it sounded like a trumpet, a great trumpet. Saying, I'm the first and the last. There ain't none before me, and there ain't none after me. I'm it. It's like God said, His Father. I'm God. And besides me, there's none. There is no more. And that's why we have the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And the word Trinity is nowhere spoken in the Bible. It's not in the Bible at all. But we use it regular because the Scripture talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we refer to that as the triune Godhead, the Trinity. And I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire. Can you imagine? That's what John saw. When he turned to see what the voice was that spoke to him, he saw seven golden candlesticks. That's what he saw when he turned around. He saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst, in the middle of those seven golden candlesticks, was one likened to the Son of Man, which was how all the Jews in the Old Testament and in Jesus' day, they understood that the Son of Man was the Messiah. They knew that. That was the Messiah. That's what he was called, the Son of Man. And when Jesus called himself the Son of Man, they understood what he was saying. He was saying, I'm the Messiah. I am God in the flesh. I am that prophet that Moses said would come. I'm him. And they said, ain't this the son of Joseph and Mary from Galilee? It say nothing about him coming from Galilee. He come from Bethlehem. They didn't understand. They didn't remember that the shepherds that saw the angels and that heard the angels praising God, and when they saw the angels, they were afraid, and the angels to do what they always do, they say, fear not. Fear not. For I have come to give you good tidings of great joy. For the Messiah is born in Bethlehem and he's laying in a manger. He's laying where the goats eat. The sheep eat. And he ain't wrapped in fine clothing. He's wrapped in some rags. He's not going to look like a king to you. He's just a little baby. But you go and give testimony and give a witness that he is born in Bethlehem. That's this same Jesus that John sees and hears in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks. Says you go give witness that he's born in Bethlehem, because the prophet said he would come from Bethlehem. And it also said he would come out of Egypt. And that's why Mary and Joseph was commanded, because Herod was trying to kill Jesus 2 years after he was born, to get out of Bethlehem and flee to Egypt. Because the prophet said he'll come out of Egypt. And he did. They went to Egypt and come out. The scriptures will always be fulfilled. Always have been, always will be. So what a great and a glorious day it is. Poor old John, an old man in the Isle of Patmos, receives the revelation revealed unto him things that are to come, and he tells all those things that the Lord Jesus told him and the angels told him that would happen in the future. And that great Antichrist would be revealed, and I believe he's already been revealed. He's the Roman Catholic Pope. And the Lord Jesus could come any day now. Any day now. Be careful how you behave yourselves. Brother Gerald, I failed to let you, or to call upon you to pray over the Lord's